This is the Steve Gruber Show. Sitting in today for Steve is Scott Bertram.
Where, oh, where can my baby be? The Lord took her away from me. She's gone to heaven, so I got to be good, so I can see my baby when I leave this world. We were out on a date in my daddy's car. We hadn't driven very far.
Jay Frank Wilson. Celebrating, well, he's not celebrating anymore. He passed away. Passed away back in 1991. J. Frank Wilson of the Cavaliers with Last Kiss, which would become a hit for a couple of other bands, including Pearl Jam with a big cover song that became a success some years ago. J. Frank Wilson and the Cavaliers' Last Kiss was their big hit. And J. Frank Wilson was born on this day back in 1941 down in Lufkin, Texas. John Frank Wilson, his real name, J. Frank Wilson and the Cavaliers. Scott Bertram with you here on the Steve Gruber Show. We always dig back into music history when I guest host and fill in here on the show. SteveGruber.com, at Steve Gruber Show on Twitter. Find me on Twitter, at Scott Bertram. Frank Vernuccio joins us now. He's editor-in-chief of the New York Analysis of Policy and Government, USAGovPolicy.com. Frank, thanks for jumping back on the Steve Gruber Show.
Scott, it's great to be with you again.
So a couple of recent posts up on the site. NATO and the U.S. agree on a Russian violation. What are we talking about here, Frank?
Well, back in the 1980s, President Reagan and Gorbachev signed a deal which would remove medium-range missiles from Europe. There was a great deal of dissent at the time about putting medium-range nuclear missiles in. Many felt it was a harbinger of an impending war in which nuclear weapons would be used. They agreed the weapons were dangerous, they were inflammatory, they kind of were a hair trigger for war, and both sides decided to pull them out. The Russians, of course, were the first to put them in. Now, the treaty lasted successfully for several decades until Vladimir Putin decided, without any provocation or any reason, really, to put them back in. Now, you can't have a treaty in which one side is observing it and the other side is simply saying, nah, we don't have to do that at all. The United States gave a number of warnings through several different administrations, including the Bush administration, the Obama administration, and finally the Trump administration. The Russians didn't budge, and finally, President Trump said, we can't have the Russians putting these missiles in without us doing the same to prevent them from using them. We're pulling out of the treaty, but we hope the Russians decide to take this seriously and come back to the table. The Russians didn't, and so finally the United States pulled out. NATO took a look at this. Some people thought that NATO, because they were angry that President Trump was talking about NATO members contributing a fair share to the budget, wouldn't back the president on this one, but they realized how dangerous this situation was and said, yes, we back President Trump on this issue.
So, I mean, what are the consequences here? You mentioned the U.S. already has pulled out of a treaty, and even if NATO says, yes, Russia's at fault here, yep, Russia did these things, what are the consequences?
Well, the consequences are that there's a united front on the part of the United States and its NATO allies. Even if the United States had pulled out of the treaty and decided to put missiles back in Europe, it couldn't have done so without the support of the European governments. This tells the White House that the European governments are on their side, and it tells Vladimir Putin that he can't get away with it one more time.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo at the Brussels meeting recently said, whatever successes this treaty helped produce, today we must confront Russian cheating on its arms control obligations. Our nations have a choice. They can bury their head in the sand or take common sense action. Look, we've heard over and over again here, Frank, Trump's a stooge for Putin. Putin's pulling the strings. It's all about Donald Trump wants to be in league with Russia. Doesn't some of this go against that storyline?
Yeah, the problem with that storyline, of course, is that it never made sense in the first place. If you look at Trump's policies in two specific areas, you couldn't have a more anti-Russian president than Donald Trump. Number one, President Trump ran on a policy of dramatically increasing the strength of the United States military. He's done so in his budget request. That's something that is a dagger pointed at the heart of Moscow. But to some extent, even more immediate and even more serious, of course, is pointing a dagger at the heart of Moscow's financial strength. Russia doesn't have a great economy at all. It makes its money pretty much only by the sale of gas and oil. Mm-hmm. The current administration in Washington has dramatically increased American oil and gas production. In fact, one of the headlines floating around today is that North Dakota is now producing more oil than all of Venezuela. Venezuela, of course, was considered the Saudi Arabia of the New World. So when you start talking about, one, decreasing the military strength of your opponent or their influence, and two, destroying their financial system, well, that's pretty much as vehemently anti-Russian as you can get. So the concept of Trump somehow bending for the Russians never made any sense in the first place.
Frank Verduccio with us here on the Steve Gruber Show. We got about 60 seconds or so. We talked NATO here. I know you have an eye on the UN, too. Heather Nauert is now the UN ambassador for the U.S. Any thoughts on her new role?
If she is even half as successful as her predecessor, she will be considered one of the better United Nations ambassadors the U.S. has ever placed. We've seen a real sea change in the way the United States confronts the United Nations. Before, it was a given that the U.S. would pretty much soft-pedal anything the U.N. wanted, that we would simply go along to get along. This is a new confrontational environment that the Trump administration has created, and so far, it seems to be working to the benefit of the United States and its allies.
Frank Verduccio, editor-in-chief for the New York Analysis of Policy and Government. You can check him out at usagovpolicy.com. Frank, thanks so much for joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
I look forward to our next discussion.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Frank. This portion of the Steve Gruber Show is brought to you by Wolverine Water Systems, Michigan's premier water treatment company. Serving Michigan since 1947, locally owned and operated, Wolverine delivers statewide. Get your free water test today by going to WolverineWaterSystems.com. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
They say to really know a man, you have to walk a mile in his boots. Well, my channel Seedsman has logged more miles than I can count in mine. Every spring, we hit my fields together at the first sight of green. As crops grow, so does his commitment to making sure there's nothing overlooked. Nutrients, weed control, pests, disease. He gets an agronomist to weigh in whenever we need a second opinion. And come harvest, we celebrate in the cab. Him working away, making plans for next season. That, my friends, is what they call seedsmanship at work. Look, anybody can sell you seed. Only a channel seedsman gives you everything you need to make the most of it.
For customized service and products placed to perform, your local channel seedsmen are Rinker Ag Solutions and Stoneman Pro Services. For more details, visit channel.com.